Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Del Rod coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Tuesday, May the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2015, and it is the start of a new week, the last full week of the month of May as we head into June. You know, many of you probably had, you had yesterday off. I know, I had yesterday off and, you know, spent a lot of time with, you know, just being a person, being an American, if you will, simply because, well, because I could and I can and you should, because you can and should. But, I know there's a lot of stuff that was going on, back over the weekend, things that, well, you know, I know there's the news for ISIS and everything, but mostly it should have been about the wonderful Veterans Day, Memorial Day ceremonies that took place all across the country. That was some beautiful stuff, for me to see as well as hear about. And because, you know, the military has a very special place in my heart. Always has, always will. For a number of reasons. Nothing, you know, of course, well, one, because my father served for a very long period of time. But that's not the only reason. The other reasons are is because they're the ones that allow us to be free. You know, without the military, you can hang it up. You're not gonna, you know, ISIS and everybody else and Germans and Japanese and everybody else would be running rampant through this country whenever they wanted to. It's our military that has always said no and stopped them. And this whole notion that we have Americans out there that don't like the military is really beyond me. I do not understand it. I just can't get past that. I can never fully, truly get why they would dislike the military so. It doesn't make any sense to me. But then again, liberals never really make any sense at all. Later in about the bottom of this half hour, we have some special guests coming up on the program. I know today has been like a blizzard of a day for me getting back, and you got to catch up from having a day off and that kind of thing. But also today down in Boston, speaking of the military, we had the Blue Angels. Now, if you've never seen the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds, the Blue Angels are Navy and the Thunderbirds are Air Force, and the Canadians have the Snowbirds. You gotta understand, well, if you've never seen it, it's hard to explain what these men and women now do in these fighter aircraft, make them do what they do in such an aerial acrobatic ballet type of situation. It's, I never tire of seeing them. Never. Never tire. Now, yes, I know that there's a German flying team, and there's a French flying team, and there's an Italian flying team, and then I think there's a British flying team, as well as the Canadian team called the Snowbirds. I'm a little partial. I don't think there's anything better than the Thunderbirds. the Air Force acrobat team. Amazing stuff. But over here today, the Navy's aerial acrobatic team, the Blue Angels, were in town. And you know, traffic was all over the place. I am sure it's because people were all over the place trying to get pictures and to see them and all that kind of stuff. And that's okay. Yeah, I'm glad that we have something that people can reach out to and experience with the military, other than, you know, knowing that the only thing that the military really is good for is for breaking things and killing people. Well, that's what they're very good at. Military is very, very good at breaking things. That's what they're designed to do. I know that our military does a lot of different things besides breaking things. Don't have to say breaking things. You can just say blow things up. And you wouldn't be far from the truth in that one. That's what they're there for. They're there to protect you and I from those from around us, around the world, that would do us harm. And in order for them to protect us so we can live the lives that we want to live, they have to break things and kill people. That's the nature of warfare on this planet. Sorry to say, but that is the nature of warfare on this planet. You may not like it. You may like it. It doesn't matter, but that's just what they're here for. To protect you and me so we can go about our daily lives without having to worry about ISIS invading, without USSR or Russia invading, without China invading, without whoever doesn't like us invading us. And plain and simple. Look, it even allows us, you know, I don't drink a lot of soda, but military allows us to do things like enjoy a soda. What's on the shelf? It seems like it's on the shelf permanently now. It was supposed to be only temporary. Now, I don't drink a lot of soda. I really don't. It's a rare occasion. But I got to tell you, I like the Pepsi Cola made with real sugar. And I know it sounds like a free spot, like I'm giving them a free, but you know what? It tastes different from the regular quote unquote Pepsi of today. Look, I just say stay away from that corn syrup stuff. It's not good for you. It really is. I know they've tried to say that it was just as good as sugar. It's not, in my book, it's not just as good as sugar. It doesn't taste the same. I can taste the difference between Pepsi Cola made with real sugar and regular Pepsi. There is a distinct difference. You know the difference. There is nothing. And it's the same with all those other artificial or sweetener substitutes like stevia. They're not the same as sugar. They're not. And I don't eat a lot of sugar or drink a lot of sugary types of things because, you know, too much sugar is not good for you. And unlike what we used to have been told, if you eat too much sugar, you're going to get diabetes. That's not true either. But I just don't eat a lot of sugar because it's not good for you. It's not. But neither is these artificial chemical substitutes. They're not good for you. And there is some evidence that suggests that some of these other alternatives in the kind of quantities that we eat sugar are also not very good for you. So, you know, the sweet stuff. Take it easy on the sweet stuff. That's all I can say about that. But, take it easy on the sweet stuff. Now, I hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. It is the unofficial, official, or it's the official, unofficial start of the summer season, however you look at it. And that means a lot of backyard barbecues and maybe you live in a small town or you live in a neighborhood where people like to gather a lot and do whatever you do during the summer. Maybe you like to vacation. I don't know where you go on vacation. Anywhere you want, as long as you can afford to go, that's fine with me. Yeah, I say, you know, find places that you can visit here across this land before you go overseas or outside of the country. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. Hey, I got some news for you. It's about the show. I don't think I've announced it yet, but toptalkradio.com has just listed me among one of the top 100 conservative talk show hosts out there. And there are a lot. I didn't, you know, I mean, that puts me in the, and yeah, I know it's only, it's top 100, but it's, that's kind of a big deal. It's kind of like being, remember the Billboard, the top 40, but the Billboard always, if you read the magazine or the newspaper that came out, it was always the Billboard top 100. Now the radio show that with Casey Kasem was always top 40, because that's all they had the time for was to do for, I mean, it was like 3 hours long as it is for top 40, 3 or 4 hours. But it was, they always listed it by the top 100. So this Top Talk has done the same thing. And so that puts me, you know, in their ranking system, that puts me, you know, on this, well, on the same page and ranking as El Rushbo and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and Mark Levin and Jerry Boyle. And I know some of you are probably saying, Jerry, who? If you've never heard Jerry Boyle, you should look him out. Look him up. Now, some of you will probably understand or know who Jerry Boyle is. He was the security chief, the head of security on the TV show Babylon 5. Yeah. Yeah, that Jerry Boyle. That's him. Yes. But he's got a highly rated conservative talk show. Another not liberal actor out of Hollywood. And he's solidly conservative. I've heard his show a few times and he's good. And, so it puts me in that ranking and I am very flattered by that. I'm kind of overwhelmed that I should be construed in being that same, that the same genre or neighborhood as all of those greats. Let's say that, you know, they're well-known people out there that have been at it for quite a, you know, longer than I have. And I know I've been at this since 2009, but, you know, there are people out there who have been out doing this longer. And I'm just happy to be a part of that growing, you know, this country. I know we see every once in a while there is a poll that comes out that kind of shows that the country is leaning left. Well, that's not the case because all the other polls out there say that the country is pulling to the right. Even to some degree, the millennials are, you know, because the millennials tend to be the children of baby boomers. And baby boomers tend to be a little bit on the, shall we say, liberal side. So, but they're not quite as liberal as their parents or, I guess, grandparents are. And I know we see the Occupy Wall Street type of idiots, and we see, you know, the protesters down there in Baltimore and Ferguson, and you're probably thinking, well, Rod, they're, you know, these young whippersnappers don't know nothing. Well, actually, they're beginning to see that government isn't the answer. Just like there was a poll that was done a couple of months ago that showed that like 59% of African Americans polled said government is the problem, not the answer. 59%. Over half of African Americans polled said government is the problem. So there is some progress being made in that arena, folks. You got to show some happiness and some pride when it comes to that, because we are making some progress. I know for a lot of people, myself included, the progress isn't big enough. It isn't fast enough. But I also understand it. It took us 50 or 60 years to get to this point. We're not going to turn it around in 2 or 4 years. That's just not the way things work. Unfortunately, and thankfully, I guess it does work that way, because imagine instead of it taking 50 or 60 years to get to this point of liberalism, what if it only took, you know, one or two terms of somebody being president, like Carter or Clinton? Think about that. If we get the right president, this could set us up for another 12 or 16 years of Republican presidency. Think about it. If we do the right thing, and if we nominate and then elect the right Republican as president, and that Republican nominates and has the right vice president, we could see, simply because of Obama, we could see a 3 or 4 term run of the White House being Republican. I want you to think about that, folks. It could be a 3 to 4 term run. Now, the last time we had this shot at having a 3 to 4 term run was Reagan Bush Sr. And then, you know, the Bush Sr. kind of got trounced by Clinton, and then Clinton just proceeded to hand Gore his head, or not Gore, you know who I'm talking about. But anyway, Dole proceeded to swaddle Dole, Bob Dole, and then we ended up with, then we got Bush. Because people were kind of tired of Clinton, I guess, or they just decided, well, they didn't want Gore. Thankfully, Clinton decided to pick a very poor candidate to be his vice president, and Gore was just horrendous. There was no way. Well, I suppose in the world of sliders, Gore could have been president, but not in our world. Gore was not going to be president. He was terrible, just terrible. And then, of course, they gave us somebody just like Gore, just as exciting, when they gave us Kerry. And so that's what gave GW 2 terms, is because of Gore and Kerry. I mean, Gore is about as, I love how everybody talks about how Mitt Romney was kind of stiff. Mitt Romney at least had some sort of personality. Stiff compared to whom? You want to compare him to Gore or Kerry? Now, Romney was not stiff at all. He was very, loose, if you will. But that's who the Democrats gave us. Now we have the opportunity again to run the tables on them, because they're looking at trying to give us, for the Democratic nomination, they're trying to give us Hillary. Hillary Rodham Clinton. Yeah, I always have said that this woman should not be anywhere near the Democratic nomination of president, because there's no way in hell she actually deserves being president of these United States of America. Absolutely not. This woman, she's not qualified. She doesn't deserve it. Plain and simple. For everything that her and her husband have done over the past 20, 30 years, they do not deserve to be in the White House again. Plain and simple. Absolutely not. Do not deserve it. And she's not even nearly qualified as some other people within her own party. And no, I'm not talking about Elizabeth Warren either. I mean, I know some of you crackpots out there might think that Elizabeth Warren is a good alternative choice to Hillary Clinton. Really? In whose world? What has Elizabeth Warren done? She's just, what do we need? Another Harvard professor? Running around being president, or pretending to be president, trying to be president, like the current one. No, we don't need another college professor as president. So that rules Warren out. Besides, she's about as much as a big humongous kook as that old guy from Vermont. For those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda, that would be Bernard or Bernie Sanders. I think it's Bernard, isn't it? The independent who caucuses with the liberal Democrats. Yeah. I know. He said he's independent, but he always... He is kind of... Well, He shouldn't really be independent. He should be, classify himself for what he is, and that's communist. Plain and simple. And, you know, there are a number of communists out there. Look, there are a number of people out there that want you to believe something that isn't the truth. They want you to believe that Republicans are you know, the wizards of ill will. The Republicans are the ones who want people to be poor. Republicans are the ones that want to cut back on welfare. Republicans are the ones that only cater to the rich. Republicans are the ones that are the racists, you know, the KKK. They founded. I heard today that somebody was arguing with somebody that I know that was saying trying to argue the point that the KKK was actually a Republican offshoot and created by Republicans. Now, I get it. What world does that come from? I mean, even the most liberals will acknowledge and they'll try to hide and bury and obfuscate the fact of where the KKK originated from and what party that they were a part of. But they're not going to deny the fact that KKK didn't come out of the Democrats. No, they like to say that, oh, no, they all left the party in the 60s and went over to the Republicans. That's what they always say. Although there's no proof of that. In fact, there's proof of just the opposite, but that is not the case or the truth. But yet and still, they do. They try to say, well, yeah, maybe. But, you know, that was back then. This is now. And all they went over to the Republic after the Democrats passed civil rights. That's when all the racist people in the Democrat Party went over to the Republican Party because the Republican Party didn't want to pass civil rights, which is also another BSing how the Republican Party were the ones that had been trying to pass civil rights for the previous 100 years since the Civil War. But, you know, you tell the story enough, people begin to believe it. Yeah, that's all it takes. Well, you know, that all you got to do is just play it out. And people will think that you are the one who is lying and that you can't possibly tell who is who is telling you the truth. But, you know, it's kind of amazing that they would go to the length of telling you that they are the party for the people. They're the party for racial equality. They're the party for, you know, all of that type of wonderful kumbaya stuff. And yet, they're not. They're the party of being racist. They're the party that absolutely hates and they've they're the ones that have done all of this kind of stuff to us, to nobody else. You know, it's one of those things that we have to understand and be aware of, because these people will do anything and everything within their power to try to tell you that no, it is they who are the ones who are the liberal ones who are for liberty, not the Republicans. And again, that's a crock.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastating injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Four
therefore, I do believe that we have our special guest on the line. Hopefully, I did everything that I was supposed to do correctly here on my end, and they are there on their end. We have Yoda and Backpack. Are you there, guys?
Yes, sir. We are here. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location on the border. How are you doing, sir?
Good. Thanks for being here, guys. Sorry about the confusion earlier, but the traffic had me running, and I actually got to the show a little bit late, almost on time, but a little bit late. But we wanted to have you on a little bit earlier, but unfortunately, I wasn't going to be here on time. So I didn't want to have people calling in too soon when I wasn't here to answer the phone. But you guys are now over the weekend. I spent some time with these gentlemen, two fantastic conservative gentlemen, and they are doing a lot of work on the conservative side in the conservative movement, getting the message out and getting the message across. And this gentleman that sounds with the more normal sounding voice is Backpack, and of course the gentleman who is just about to come on, his name is Yoda. He loves to be called Yoda, but he has got this wonderfully deep voice that is very soothing to listen to, and that you just want to listen to him forever. He just has that natural voice, but he's also a military veteran of World War II. And so yesterday was also a day for him. Yoda, are you there, sir?
I sure am.
Hi, Rod. Good. Thank you for the compliment. Good to be with you, brother. A note about weekend show when you were gracious enough to come on our show, voicesofglobalfreedom.com. You spiked all of our statistics there off the chart when you came on. Emails poured in. So we want to get you back on our show quickly. In addition, your article titled Baltimore Rising is on the Magnified View, our sister magazine, and that's already resulted in thousands of visitors.
Really? Wow.
I told your great gal, Laura, that today. She was excited about it. So we're delighted to be back on with you, Rod. Thanks for having us.
Well, I'm glad I know you guys have a very busy schedule down there in your undisclosed location. Now, you guys are currently working on something that's rather big. Are you at liberty to talk about that a little bit?
We can talk a little bit. We've been in the counter-terrorist business since before it was fashionable. I'm older than a rock, but I missed the Second World War. I started at 15 years old in Korea. I entered the Air Force at 14, obviously underage, but lied about it. So in the early 70s, do you happen to remember the Munich Olympic massacre of Israeli athletes?
I was a little kid, but yes, I remember that.
Beginning then, countries started to form counter-terrorist teams. Before then, there weren't any. The U.S. took special forces of the Army and formed Delta. The Germans converted a border unit, GSG-9, the famous British SAS. I joined a unit, I was a cop, but I joined a unit then that traveled around the world, training these teams that were forming all over the world. We've been in the counter-terrorist business before it was fashionable, Rod. And today, we work with major letter agencies, federal agencies, and local law enforcement. That's how we earn our crust of bread. We're working a case these few days called kidnap extortion. The cartels, and sometimes amateurs, kidnap victims and for ransom. It's cheaper than drugs and smuggling. To grow drugs, you got to grow a product in a field somewhere. You need a laboratory. You need smuggling. You need distribution in the United States. Whereas kidnapping, at its low end, you need about four guys. At its high end with cartels, you need 30, 40 guys. But today, or these days, we're working what's called kidnap extortion. Is that of interest to you and your fine audience, do you think? Otherwise, we can talk about something else.
No, actually, that sounds, well, it's coming across the border. Are you finding that Americans are being kidnapped?
Yes, and it's a shadow industry. It seldom, even rarely, hits the press or law enforcement. It's a ransom behind the curtain business. Ranges from four guys that just grab somebody off the street to highly sophisticated cartels. They have a target selection team. They do surveillance. They have a unit that finally grabs the victim. They have a unit that holds onto him somewhere. And they have professional negotiators. Ransoms range from $3,000 from the thugs to millions of dollars with the cartels. But you very seldom hear about it. Phoenix, Arizona was running one a day for a while. One a day, Rod.
Why did we not hear about this?
Because victims and the family that ransoms them out doesn't want to go to the press or often to the authorities. So it doesn't come out.
Southern borders down there, snatching Americans, and I'm gathering that most of the time it isn't Americans snatching Americans, but it's south of the border, probably Mexicans snatching Americans.
Yeah, I don't even know of Americans involved as the bad guys. It's all cartels or thugs.
And it's just a way for them to garner quick cash.
American citizen and the authorities hear about it. It's an FBI case. If it involves the United States and it's not a citizen, then ICE, it's an ICE case. That's how it works.
Okay.
But people are totally unaware of it. In this case, smugglers, human smugglers, often called pollos in the trade, coyotes, bring a guy over. They make sure that he's captured by the Border Patrol. So the guy pays the bad guys to bring him over, who then make sure that he's captured by the Border Patrol. He's then held in detention incommunicado. He can't talk to anyone. The bad guys then call his family and say that they've kidnapped him. So the family believes he's a kidnapped victim. They then, for whatever amount they can judge the family has, often as low as $3,000, the family goes to Western Union and wires the money to them in Mexico. Thereafter, the victim, the guy that's been in detention, is let out and deported across the border. He calls the family and says, well, he didn't make it this time. He was amazed to hear that he was kidnapped. That's a classic kidnap extortion. Other times, a unit will clandestinely surveil a family. They'll take video of some pretty wealthy guy, professional guy's wife and kids. They will then call the victim, often a professional, and say that they're going to kidnap or kill the kids if he doesn't come up with a certain amount of money. That's also a kidnap extortion. Make sense, Rob?
So, yeah, so they actually don't grab the people. They just sort of, kind of like the movies, they say, look, we know your routine, we know your family's routine, we can take them anytime we want unless you give us such and such amount of money.
Exactly. Yeah. Then, of course, there are real kidnappings. As I've said, they range from a couple thugs on the street, you know, for a few grand, up to a sophisticated cartel that highly targets really wealthy people. That can be in the millions. It's a big business. As I said, it's a lot more profitable, easier than drugs.
Do you think, now, because this sounds like this could pretty much resonate in the political realm, do you think that these people could, if they wanted to, easily target our political leaders in the same way, but instead of asking for money, maybe for certain types of political influence?
Question. The cartels are really about money. Unthinkable amounts of money. That's what they do. So they don't want to grab one of our congressmen or senators and stir up a whole lot of activity. You know, they just do what they do. This started with rival cartels kidnapping each other. Then they found out how lucrative it was. So they expanded their business industrial strength to civilian victims. They're currently running through professions. For example, we worked a dentist, a Mexican dentist, pretty wealthy guy, kidnapping. And while he was in custody, they offered him a discount if he would reveal and identify other dentists and where they lived and how easy it would be to grab them. So they work through professions now, business owners, doctors, dentists, like that.
Wow, this is like living down in South America where this type of thing is expected in every day. You don't expect that here in the U.S. of A.
Yeah, Mexico City is the kidnap capital of the world. Phoenix, as I said, was running one a day. Little known.
That's incredible. And all because our borders are too porous.
We don't have borders.
if you actually believe some of the liberals, you know, we're just all one big happy family world country, so we shouldn't have borders. We should let our borders down and probably, you know, just let anybody who wants to come across. But
A lot of people, Rod, make money on illegals. For example, all manner of government employees, federal, state, city, county, realize they have a job because of illegals. They work with them. The educational system benefits mightily for illegals. Churches are often populated by illegals. Attorneys make a lot of money. There is an incredible black shadow behind the curtain industry that deals exclusively with illegals. They band together and have lobbies. And the lobbies are influential in leaving the border open. So you'll always hear that the Democrats want votes leaving the border open, which is certainly true. And the Republicans want cheap labor. I've never really figured out which big companies, or, you know, Fortune 500, want to employ illegals, possibly except agriculture. But the border stays open in large part because of the money that people earn from it.
Yeah, That makes sense because, you know, it does take money. Well, it takes money for a legal immigrant to come here, stay here, and possibly become a citizen. And so for an illegal, there's just that added bonus, I guess, for the legal, for those in the legal system that keeps this permanent wheel of income coming in, I guess. And yeah, I would see how they would probably lobby against less stringent border patrols and border security. But at the same time, we're allowing, now that we know that there are terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, that are having camps and building camps in Mexico just across our border. And today we were just there was big news about how ISIS seemed to be overtly seeking a nuclear weapon. Now, we know that Saudi Arabia and I think Jordan were talking about actually buying a nuclear weapon from Pakistan if Iran were to get the bomb. But ISIS was basically saying, yeah, we're in the market to get a weapon as well. And we know what would happen. They would smuggle it across the border and blow up one of our cities with a real nuclear device or a dirty nuclear device. Either way, it'd be just as devastating. So do you really see people down there really getting nervous along the southern border and really wanting to shut it off, or is the money that's flowing across too powerful to stop it?
Yes, it is. Charities exist only because of illegals. Some of them take care of illegals. Others take 95% for admin and executives and give 5%, but they exist because of illegals. Clinics exist because of illegals. So I'm pulling the layers off the onion. You can see where a lot of people make money from them. As for the nuclear thing, you're aware that we recently sold rights to uranium directly to Russia. Thank you, Mrs. Clinton. Backpack and I were in a meeting recently. So Ivan, that's who we call Russians, are giving the uranium now to Iran. A Backpack in a meeting recently suggested that they just send the damn bomb to Iran and be done with all the fuss and middlemen about it.
Well, it definitely seems like, you know, our president wants them to be able to have it, in spite of everybody else in the Middle East who's scared to death of a nuclear-armed Iran, for good reason, because Iran doesn't really get along well with most of its neighbors. Some of our big allies, such as Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, they realize they'll probably be first on Iran's list after Israel. But then we know Israel is nuked up too, so that could create a whole host of problems. But do you see that ISIS or Al Qaeda being able to get a hold of a nuclear device via Iran, via Russia?
Yes, people smarter than I am, excuse me, the real intel officers, the real analysts and evaluators, see it on the current trend line. If under Obama the trend line is destiny, yeah, Iran will have 5-10 kiloton nuclear bombs or so-called dirty bombs. They will in turn give it to Hezbollah, of course. Hezbollah, not generally known by the public, is enormous. It has banks and schools and mosques, and it's like a city-state within a state. You hear a lot about Hamas due to the press, but Hezbollah is enormous. So the scenario is, or one of hundreds of scenarios, we allow Iran to get the bomb. We're certainly doing that. They give it to Hezbollah. Hezbollah, through any number of vehicles or conduits, land one in Tel Aviv, probably another one in New York or Washington, D.C. Yeah.
If they land one in Washington, D.C., they'd get rid of some of their support. Do you think...
That was funny, Rob.
if they do that, though, do they not... I can't really see whoever the president is that the American people would actually put up with being nuked. Do you think that would set off the American people and we'd actually go and get these people finally?
You can undoubtedly answer that better than I do, because I'm in the forest with all the trees since 74. So we've been concerned, and the real counterterrorists have asked each other for decades, why aren't they here yet in strength? By that I mean a dirty bomb, active shooters, or vehicle-borne explosives. And the founding editor-in-chief of the Magnified View magazine recently came up with one, her name's Jenna Rama, that no one's ever thought of. Specific to ISIS, their prize target is Saudi. Not only do they get the oil, but they inherit Mecca and Medina. Mecca progresses their caliphate eons forward. The Quran says that each and every Muslim on earth must support a military caliphate. If they get a hold of Mecca, where they pray to five times a day from around the world, it's an enormous value for them. So back to Jenna Rama, our founding editor-in-chief of our millions viewer, magnifiedview.com, she holds that they're now taking over the Middle East. Next big target, Saudi. And were they to attack here in some strength, meaning active shooters, vehicle-borne explosives, whatever, the American public would react. Obama would have to finally do something, especially if they attack one of his golf courses or fundraising. So they're letting us alone for the moment while they take over the Middle East. I've shared her backpack, shared her idea, new idea, with some really heavy insiders that we've worked with for years, and they agree with her. So that's our answer to why it isn't here yet, or one of the answers.
One of the things we're seeing in the Middle East now that is really popped up is that Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Israel have a pact together. That's a breaking story.
It has been rumored that Saudi Arabia and Jordan have offered or backdoor dealed a deal where the Israeli Air Force would be able to have airspace to fly in a pattern that would allow them to attack from the air Iran, should that be Israel's path of choice. Now, I find that interesting. Maybe not so much with Egypt, even though Egypt has often said death to Israel, but Egypt was also one of the first Middle Eastern countries to actually make peace with Israel. Everybody remember it, then give credit where credit is due for Jimmy Carter for bringing that together. That's about the only good thing the man ever did while he was in office, was able to broker that, bring those two together like that. But there was that deal back, was it 78, 79, that allowed some smidgen of hope for peace to appear in the Middle East. And I think that may have opened the door for people or for nations like the Saudis to say, yeah, well, we might need to do something like this as well if we're going to, you know, save our own skin, I guess. But I think it's on shaky ground, but I think when the Saudis realize that, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so, therefore, you know, if Israel is my enemy, but Iran's my bigger enemy, and Iran and Israel don't like each other, maybe I should back Israel a little bit so they can, you know, be the big bully against Iran and protect us. Hold on, guys. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go anywhere.